I have a secret.
Uh-huh.
I use Secret Whole Body Deodorant because more than just my armpits stink.
Oh, can I use it where my bra rubs under my...
Oh, yeah.
And what about down there? You know, my...
Totally. 4 out of 5 gynecologists would recommend it. So I tried it, and now I get 72 hours of freshness. From my pits to my...
Ooh, I love that it's a spray.
Me too. And it comes in sticks and creams too. Go get your Secret Whole Body Deodorant.
Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
Great call. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Is it only Tuesday? This is a Friday.
It is only Tuesday.
This is a Friday ass Tuesday.
It does feel Friday. It does feel Friday.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into the DMVR Nuggets podcast.
Let's go.
You waited for it. You waited all day for it. And here it is, delivered to your front doorstep, hot off the presses.
It's midnight in Serbia.
It is midnight. They're asleep. They're
or 12:22.
We're presented, as always, by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Use promo code DNVR whenever you sign up and gamble on preseason. As we learned last night, take the under. It's preseason. These guys are all terrible.
Take the underdog is what you mean.
Are the Thunder the best team in the NBA?
Also, against the Nuggets, usually are.
I've got my esteemed colleagues here wearing the short shorts.
How we doing? Real low-fi, low-budget fit today, but hoodie season is upon us, you know, and I feel good.
Usually it's a high budget.
Yeah,
that outfit
costs the same as
watches.
Usually
how much do your flower shirts actually cost?
Yeah, like, oh, he's
it
like
depends, man. It depends where I get it from.
What's the most expensive shirt you buy?
I'll go Zara is like the high end.
How much is that?
I've paid like 80 to 100.
Whoa! Big spender. Where's the air horns, Kale? Come on, where are you at, dude? He just said $80 for a shirt. My God,
not
man.
Most of them. Closer to free than $80.
Yeah, yeah, I would hope so.
I shop at 3 stores, all that sell tall size shirts.
Where do you shop?
I got Eddie Bauer. You've got The Gap, which is the bummer one. And then you've got Kohl's, which is also the bummer one. Two of these are big time bummers.
Oh, they sell tall sizes. Just the only people who make clothes.
The only ones that sell tall sizes.
Kohl's, bro. Oh,
dude, man. Are you kidding? Kohl's, the Sonoma Good for Life
brand? I'm so glad Superstar Dev is not on this show right now to hear that. Yeah. He is disappointed.
You know what Dev is? A regular sized human being. It makes things easier. Over here, though, I got Harrison Wind. Also regular sized.
I'm wearing...
Oh, Showtime.
A little Showtime. Fit for the occasion. I think we're going to be talking about some Michael Porter Jr. today. Yeah. Coming off the first real practice of the year, and boy, was it a doozy.
This technically was the first practice, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Malone, there's a lot of lies that have been told in the last week. There's a lot of lies.
People are lying.
Guys, somebody, who is it? Professor Krastavac Lee says Jokic really doesn't like media. We've been telling you guys this for years. These guys do
not like it.
We're 1 week into it. None of these guys like it, and they all realize they have to lie to kind of get the message across.
Except for Jamal Murray. And that's been this actually year, one of the real treats.
Our guy?
The Jamal Murray return, man.
You talking about our guy?
It really seems like he's enjoying doing media, which, that's. I hope it lasts.
Yeah, like
I'm
a
not
month.
Give me the date that's no longer true.
He's engaging, man. He's thoughtful. It was great talking to him last night. It's been great.
Yeah, it has been great. So today we're going to go over practice notes. We just got back. We talked to Nikola Jokic. We talked to Bones Highland. We talked to Michael Malone. All of them had, I thought, interesting things to say. Maybe it's just that we're out of practice, but I found it interesting. General managers across the NBA guys have voted. They have placed their votes. They have... silent votes, so you know that they were honest. And guess what? Words in. Almost every single GM believes Nikola Jokic, the best center in the NBA. Honestly,
wow.
No contest. Yeah. No contest.
The gap is widening by the year.
The gap is absolutely widening. We'll talk about why that matters. Segments 2 and 3.
That's a hell of a tease.
Harrison, you were at practice with me today. That's where you vote. But Harrison, I know you've curated some notes. I want to go over these notes in sort of detail. But just give me your first of all, what was your big takeaway from today's media availability?
My big takeaway from today's media availability. I thought what Michael Malone said at the very end of his availability was maybe the most noteworthy thing he said, talking about shot selection.
Shot selection is going to be a buzzword. Like, this is if it was
it's a theme.
You know,
say.
Sesame Street, every time when the word is said the first time, it's like, ding, that's our word of the day. Shot selection might be one of them.
Yeah. And, you know, he was talking about how over the summer, during Denver's off-season runs in the gym, they had different point totals assigned to different types of baskets. Mid-range shots were worth 1 point. Three-pointers were worth 3. Corner threes worth 4. Shots at the rim were worth 3, I think, also. Yeah. But anyway, you know, this is a theme of the season. It's a theme with a lot of teams this time of year, cutting out the mid-range shots, especially early in the shot clock, passing up good shots for great shots. And I think the belief is, and we know this, if the Nuggets really run their offense, they should get a wide-open 3 or a shot at the rim every single time. And that's what Michael Malone wants most of. That's what he wants mostly. So he talked a lot about that today. Or not a lot, but he had a very interesting quote about it today.
To me, it's actually, it's simultaneously one of the most frustrating parts, but also one of the most beautiful parts about basketball and about this team in particular. I always say basketball is a spiritual game. This team has so many players that are good enough not to wait for an A-plus shot. They just have so many. Jokic doesn't need to wait for an A-plus shot.
Yeah.
You know how good Jokic is at C-minus shots? He's really good at them.
Right.
Jamal Murray's the same. Bones Highland the same. Michael Porter obviously the same. So to me, it's an interesting tension because there is this push and pull of, do I accept that my role might not be the most fun role because I have to trust this? Am I capable of trusting that the offense arrives at, you know, the 7 passes and we're going to find the open guy there? Those are really, really tough questions. And to me, we're 1 week into this season. We are 1 preseason game into it. To me, it's like theme number 1 of the season is going to be this team is so dynamic, and that is probably going to be one of the struggles. They might find a connection and just stay in that for a certain time, but I just feel like it's going to be, it's not going to be a natural thing. We'll get to the naturalness of this in a second.
But I think Malone drilling it home at the beginning of the season, it's the right thing to do. And it's kind of predictable because, you know, you drill your points of emphasis home now. That's how you want to start the year. Eventually, you know, I think everybody knows.
All right. I'm hijacking this. Yeah. I'm hijacking this to disagree, though. And I'm curious, you can play mediator here on the 2 perspectives. I feel almost a little less encouraged than you do, kind of like Malone's going to hammer this home now and make that a thing. Look, Jokic was very interesting today as well. And Jokic, I thought, was very good with media today. Like, he actually, I thought, opened up a little bit. But one of the things he was asked about, he was asked about this specific thing and how's the chemistry or this. Or actually, the first question he was asked was, what was the struggle with the game or something of that? And he basically said, oh, it wasn't a surprise at all. It's the same things as last year. He's kind of getting at, to me, it almost sounded like it's not a Michael Malone's going to drill this in and that message is received and then we work on it. It was more of like, we know what our problem is. We just never seem to be able to get the solution. We know what the solution is. We just never seem to be able to do it. Not in this fatalistic way. I'm just saying that Jokic, to me, I took away from Jokic's comments today, he was more or less like, guys, there's no mystery. We know what it is. We don't always defend the paint well. We don't always have great shot selection. We don't always get back in transition. It's not like we don't know those are the things, but for some reason we still don't do it. And that's not a this year thing. This is a year's thing.
Right, but it's different this year with different personnel, and there's the balance of the habit building starts now versus it's a first preseason game. How many of these important guys are moderating, right, working in moderation, not pushing it too hard? You know, Aaron Gordon, who Jokic himself said today is a key part to that defense, I thought wasn't playing particularly hard on that end of the floor in that first game. Not surprising. So there's something too in the preseason. Malone can't not coach, right? It is his job. He has to try to do this. But I also think players are going to have a slightly different perspective on wanting to see it manifest in that moment.
I want to address Dylan Wallace here. I think it's what says Wallace. He says the vibes feel weird. I want to make something clear that's be more apparent to me more as time goes on. We are breaking down and analyzing micro details. And when you do that, inevitably you're going to make small things seem like bigger things. Would I say the vibes feel weird? Last week I said the vibes feel great in camp. I still think that.
Right.
I just think that there are like the Nuggets are 1 week into the season, and I just feel like they kind of know what their challenge is. Not that they're not going to figure it out, solve it, this or that. So again, I think if we were analyzing this in the proper context, it's like, hey, here's some things. None of this is big deals. But when we talk about it for 30 minutes, it feels like a bigger deal. So I just want everyone to kind of be aware of that. It's fun to talk about, though.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I thought was the most interesting quote, and it was the one that I tweeted out today. It was from Jokic, and it was on building chemistry. And he says, I think that just happens. Well, he was asked about this team, like, are they building chemistry? And the unit, the starting unit. I think that just happens. Of course you need to work on it. But I think some teams cannot reach that level of chemistry, and some teams reach it right away. So I think we can control that, and we still cannot control that. So we will see. Basically saying, chemistry is a thing that you both have to work at, but also a thing that comes natural, and you can only control what you can control. And the implication was, he doesn't know if this is which one of this team is. He doesn't know if it is a we're going to get there, or if this is a like some teams, some players just don't have chemistry. To me, that was the most illuminating answer he gave. Do you not feel the same way? You're kind of shocked by that, I think.
It was a good answer. I thought it was definitely interesting.
It was honest, too, which I mean,
I think it was honest. Nuggets have a lot of new guys this year.
Yeah.
And this is a different starting five. It's only one new player, but it's also two guys coming back who really didn't play at all last year. It's a different starting five. There's Bruce Brown off the bench. I think his fit is something that is interesting and could be talked about. DeAndre, like, there's just a lot of new players and new pieces. And I got to think that's a little bit, you know, of what he's referring to there.
Yeah. I mean, you think about Porter for me with that comment, not,
well, I mean, you think of him because does Yoke feel like he has chemistry with Jamal Murray?
Right, precisely.
Yes.
He said today that he likes the way KCP plays. Yep, and he feels like this.
Yeah, so it is, look, there's, and it's I think framed this nicely in the past. Porter may always kind of feel like an appendage, like he's just hanging off the team a little bit, and it's not always going to feel within maybe the flow of what Jamal and Jokic would like to do. But both Jokic and Malone, This season for them, a lot of it's going to be about trying to figure out what's that threshold and is Porter past it in terms of talent. Like, is he, if Jamal and Jokic get the green light to just sort of play the way they want to play, is Porter good enough to also eventually just earn that green light? Or can he be molded into something that fits more nicely into what Malone or Jokic would like? And is that futile? You know, I think that process, that question is something we're going to be checking back in on every few weeks.
It's chemistry is such a funny one. It actually reminded me of when Kenneth Fareed was here, when Paul Millsap first arrived. I asked Jokic, like, those two guys didn't necessarily hit it off right away. There was a little bit of a clunkiness to it. And I remember asking him about chemistry then, and he's like, hey, like, some guys it's right away and some guys you have to work on. And I asked with Kenneth Fareed, how was it? And he said it was right away. Right. And I always remember that. Now, clearly, the Nuggets were better with Paul Millsap than they were with Kenneth Fareed. So this is not a value one is better. But it was one of those things that when I hear today's quote and I hear that one, it's like, look, we know this inherently. We all have friends that we met, and it was like day one. We just became friends because, sure, man, we just are the same kind of people. We enjoy each other's company. And then there are people, the more people you know in life, it's like, hey, I like this guy. I don't love him. It's a little bit of work to be around this person all the time. You know, like, there's those types of relationships in sports. These are people that are given to you, not people that,
right,
you pick.
Yeah.
So you're going to have people that you naturally find a personal chemistry with and a basketball chemistry with, and some people that take less. And I say all that to say, to me, it was the most illuminating because we all hope that the Nuggets assemble and they just click right away and they reach this dynamite level and we have the 2015 Warriors on our hands. Doesn't appear that's going to be the case. We'll see if it clicks on the basketball court.
We'll see.
It could still click in the next week or two, right, and that would be ridiculously fast. But I do think, I just would not be surprised if this is going to be more of a ebbs and flows. Team looks great. Team falls out of rhythm. Has to find that rhythm. Falls out of it again.
I mean, you say that, but then the Nuggets could have, I think, poor chemistry all season and not be on the same page and still win 50 games.
Oh, of course. That's the thing about this team.
That's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
the talent is so high.
That's what you can feel so good about. We hold this team to such a high standard.
Right.
Because of the talent. Because they have the back-to-back MVP, because how experienced they are, how deep they are. Like, they should be, I think, the best team in the West. They should be, they should play with the same chemistry and cohesion that some of those Warriors teams played with and some of those Spurs teams played with. They right. should get there. You know, even if they only get to 75% of that, they're still going to be one of the best teams in the West and they can still win a championship.
But that's part of what makes Malone's job so hard, right? If they're going to get to that, as we've sort of described it, Golden State level, he can't let things slip through the cracks starting now, preseason game one, right? He's got to be the one that's pushing the team and more specifically MPJ, right, towards that model of success.
But I think they can get there.
Like, I think
for the record, I think this team can absolutely get to one of those types of levels by the end of the season.
Me too. But I kind of understand why Malone maybe senses, whether he's right or wrong, that he needs to be hyper-focused on it. Because Porter is so good that he can sort of take those out-of-the-flow shots, hit them, and you win enough games that is he doing the reflection that things need to change? You know, has the team done that reflection? That is Michael Malone's job, and it's a tightrope to walk.
Yeah. What else you want to take us through on this from today's media availability?
Should we talk about Hubies?
Let's talk about some Hubies, man.
Hubies.
I feel so like old talking like Hubies are a new term that
Hubie, by the way, Nuggets is the best color commentator, I think, maybe of all time. Hubie was like one of those. He was like Peyton Manning. I don't know if you guys remember. He still does it, I think, from time to time. But he's like Peyton Manning in his ability to be like, I wouldn't be surprised if coming out of this timeout, they try to run that action over, blah, blah, and then they'll just run it exactly. Like, he was one of those guys.
We're Tony Romo-ish.
Yeah, Tony Romo. Yeah, he was one of those guys that always saw the game and it would explain it to you. But he would explain it to you like your grandpa.
So the Hubies are a new term that you'll hear a lot with the Nuggets this season. It comes from Hubie Brown. The origin exactly is still a little hazy to me. I don't really get it, but it's from Hubie Brown. And a Hubie is pretty much when a shot goes up and you either don't crash the glass or you don't get back in transition.
Right.
It's when you're doing nothing. if you get a Hubie, it means you're not doing anything for us. And the point is to clean up the Nuggets transition defense. And so the Nuggets are tracking this during every game. They had 25 of them, I believe, last night against the Thunder.
Yikes.
It's when you're not doing really anything. Hubies, guys.
So this was more backstory. Malone and the coaching staff every year, they look at the data, they look at the tape, they analyze the year, and they say, what were we bad at? And then they go, why were we bad at it? And to Malone, right, we're bad at defense. We're bad at paint defense. We're bad at the transition. Why are we bad at those? And one of the things he came away with was, we're bad because we just have a habit of like standing around and watching things, watching this or that. So that was the idea, I think. And I couldn't get him to answer this honestly. Did you notice I tried to ask him, did he come up with that before training camp or during? And he didn't actually answer that.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this was a thing they got into camp and was like, they're not getting it. How do we make a thing? Nonetheless, they made a thing. Players have to do something when the shot goes up. And to be honest with you, it was funny. We asked Bones Highland, like, did you have any Hubies last night? And he's like, I had all Hubies. Like, I just had Hubies left or right.
He doesn't know who Hubie Brown is, I don't think.
I mean, come on, he's 20 years old. Like, come on.
I'm not saying he should.
Yeah.
And that's why Malone is hilarious. This is like the Keystone Cops, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I had no idea who they were, and I'm 38. But Malone's, his references all end in 1940.
Yeah.
Killeth reference from 1920 to 1940.
Yeah.
I think it's a good rule. I think that if we had to do the early returns on how well is tracking this doing, I would say nothing. It's making no impact. Nuggets collected.
One game, bad transition defense.
One game, Hubies were collected by everyone
in
large
of
numbers.
Hubies.
Well, yeah. Well, now they've got plenty of room for growth.
Yeah.
Now they've got a nice baseline to improve on. Yeah.
Yeah.
You do get to hit your bingo, though, Wind. I think you were the one that predicted, you know, Malone raid. I don't think they were going to practice today, guys. You call it practice. Usually you get a day off. You do training camp, all of that. You get here, you take a day off, like a little break in the action. They practiced today, and I think it was Wind that was like, you know, I bet Malone's going to come in steamed last night, orders a practice, wakes up in the morning and realizes it's a long season, and he probably didn't. And I feel like that was more or less what happened.
They did a light practice.
Very light.
Lots of film. Cleaning up the details.
Yeah.
stuff like that.
Is that film session just like, do you guys see how shitty you played? Like, are you, look at this. Just watch.
I'm telling you, man, the longer I'm around this, the coaches, when I hear about the coaches in Europe and just how much they can like throw a guy out after one game or something like this, and it's like, hey, he kicked him off the team even though he was the champ and the MVP. And then you get here because you hear Malone and how he preaches and does this. And then you talk to the players and they're like, oh, yeah, I think I remember him mentioning it.
That sounds familiar.
Like, he said it 45 times this month. Like,
he said it was the single most important thing. Like, I don't know. Yeah. The NBA is weird.
Man, I have so much respect for Michael Malone. Like, preseason game number one. And he gets up to the podium after and it's just like, we didn't get better tonight.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is such a long season. There's four more preseason games. There's 82 regular season games. We're going to be doing this a lot. Like, this is going to be going on a lot for the next 6 months.
But this is success, Harrison.
This is what I'm getting at. This is why I respect him.
Yeah.
Because he's just a militant about this stuff.
Yeah.
And he just drills it in every single day. And to have the ability to do that from training camp practice number one until the playoffs start is like a hell of a task. And the fact that he's just so dedicated to it, that's what being a coach at this level is about. You just got to do that.
And the basketball gods gave him Michael Porter Jr.
But it's because you can't climb a mountain in one step, right?
Absolutely.
You have to go, and I think that's Malone, is he has to look at everything of, was today moving forward or moving backward? I can't ever accept moving backward. I don't have to finish the race today, but I just have to be like, do we move forward? And I agree with him. I don't think the Nuggets got better in that game, other than maybe it was a wake-up call, which is the only thing you could hope for. So I kind of agree with him. Where else do you want to go here?
He talked about Jokic, his wrist. It seems like it's fine. They're not really saying much on it, but he participated in practice fully today. They didn't really do any scrimmaging or anything, but he was a full participant. Didn't have a brace on it or anything, as far as we could tell. And Malone was saying how, look, he had this lengthy summer, a lot of traveling, a lot of playing. He said, I know there's fatigue there. I'm talking physical, emotional, mental. So they just have to be smart, Malone said, with how, you know, much they're doing on a daily basis with him.
Jokic was weird about the wrist. He was like, it just felt weird.
Yeah, he said that he's not super concerned, but then his answer didn't actually make me feel less concerned. He said it just felt weird, and he isn't sure if it's connected to the lingering, if it's a lingering thing. Remember, he had that wrist issue last year as well. So
he did say, though, that he loved the way the first unit played in the second stint. And he said that's the way we're supposed to look, which I think is good. And then he also said the pick and roll with Murray felt really good. Even in the first stint, he said he felt it felt really good.
So yeah,
those things are encouraging. And then I love it. He did tell one lie today, you guys. The low shot. He only took one shot.
Yeah,
why? He said it just happened. It was just the rhythm of the game.
Liar.
Bullshit.
That's not true.
Does he not think we've learned over the last 8 years? Like, we can tell when he's bullshitting us and when he's not.
He's earned the right, though. I'm not even going to call him on it. Oh, just like, whatever. Good. All right.
Lie to us. That's the game.
That's what you got to say.
It's the entire game.
That's why I laugh when Christian Brown, at the when he was asked about the Kansas City Chiefs or whatever, when he's like, I have to tell the truth.
I was like, no, you don't.
It's like, what? Yes, you do. That's right. That's right. You do have to tell the truth about this. Yeah.
Don't you ever forget it.
All right. Let's take a break. On the other side, maybe we'll wrap up a few other thoughts from practice today, as well as get to the GM survey, which is always fun. Always fun to touch.
Always love a good survey. Breckenridge Brewery, they're having a Hoot Nanny. They're having a birthday coming up, 32 years young. To celebrate, Breck Brew is throwing a weekend-long Hoot Nanny. Kick off the fall with live music, food and beer, and games. This is coming up, guys. October 8th and 9th at their Littleton location. They've got national acts like Spin Doctors and local favorites. Railroad Earth rocking out, so stay tuned. We'll let you know all the details when that's coming up closer. The Breck Brew Hoot Nanny, October 8th and 9th. Check out the link in the description for more information, or go to breckbrew.com for more details on tickets and the artist lineup. At DraftKings Sportsbook, guys, NFL's in full swing, obviously. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. We're talking touchdowns, big plays, and even bigger wins. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win and get $200 in free bets if they do. In addition to usual bets, everyone can boost their winnings with the DraftKings stepped-up same-game parlays. The more legs you add, the bigger the payout. Check out the stepped-up same-game parlays from DraftKings. Once per game, you can do those all season long. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code DNVR to get $200 in free bets if your team wins. When you place a $5 bet on any football game, that's code DNVR only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
Awesome. I want to let everybody know we're back tomorrow, 4 o'clock Mountain Time. And guess what? We have a special guest.
Oh, man.
One of my favorite episodes of the year.
Wow.
Ariana Lenarski, a.k.a. our tarot witch. She is going to be here.
She's
tomorrow is the day. She's our witch. She's a benevolent witch. And she's going to tell us how the season... Tomorrow we find out how the season goes.
I know. We don't even need to play the games. We don't even need to finish out the preseason.
So just true.
After the episode tomorrow, we'll have so much clarity.
On a scale of 1 to 10... Like, actually, don't do a scale. What would you say your level of excitement is versus your level of nervousness?
Oh, I'm a 10 out of 10 nervous.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, this is going to decide the entire year. So
I mean, think about how last year she pulled 9 of Wands, and then all we did was get our asses kicked.
Yeah. So true.
As a community.
We were the 9 of Wands all year.
For a year. Yeah. So, yeah.
The 9 of Wands.
It's so funny, man. Like, we've had some great DNBA shows over the years.
Yeah.
We've had, you know, the Game 7 wins against the Jazz and the Clippers. We've had just some incredible snake drafts throughout the offseason.
Well,
if you ask a lot of our listeners what their favorite episode is, it's a lot of times the tarot card reading episode. Like, this is what the people pay to see.
It definitely is. So we'll be doing that tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Can't wait. I'm also extremely nervous. All right. There was a GM survey. Or actually, do you want to put a bow on any of these notes? Wind, I'll give you the chance just to wrap it up here.
We did have a couple videos, I know, that I sent Kale of the play that Michael Malone could have been talking about when
he talks
about Michael Porter.
Okay, why don't we roll that beautiful footage?
So it could have been this one. This one was at the very beginning of the game. Kind of clunky.
Yo calls for it. No thanks.
Mid-range. Boom. He makes it. So all it could have been that one. It also could have been...
Hold on a second. Let's analyze this one. Was that a good shot? No, because it's a mid-range contested with no rebounders. Do I mind Mike taking that one specifically? Me personally, no. Like, to me, that's a shot that, again, you have to pick your spots to take that one. But every player has to pick their spots to take them. I'm fine with him taking those ones. I will say this. I do think Michael Porter can score 20 points a night without that one. Like, if he just were to erase that one, I still think the team can find 20 points per night.
Mm-hmm.
It takes an enormous amount of trust. But do I personally feel like that's one that I would have a point on? Absolutely not. To me, Michael Porter's going to shoot 51% on those, which is 52% on those, which is good enough.
Yeah. I agree.
And he's good enough. Like, I think he crosses the threshold of talent where you live with that.
The one thing I will say is trust is a funny thing.
Right.
If Jamal Murray takes that, Steph Curry takes that one, Warriors fans or Warriors players are like, it's Steph Curry. Like, he's earned all of this trust with us. Michael, he's earned it in terms of we all know he can make it.
Yeah, sure.
But, like, the team is trying to build some kind of continuity. So, just pick your spots on that one.
And it's funny, when Malone was talking about this today, he also said how Nikola Jokic is a great mid-range shooter. I don't want to take that away from him.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
What's the other play? Okay, here's the other one.
Okay.
This is also a clunky possession, too.
You know what's funny about this play real quickly? Man, this is actually a hilarious play. If it was on the list, I would have put it on the list. Yeah, sidestep backwards.
Late, but this is late shot clock.
It is late shot clock. All right, so here's an interesting thing about this one. This is one of the Nuggets' base plays. They run this one all of the time.
Yeah.
This is a screen-to-screener action. So what's funny is Yoke makes an interesting decision on this play that you might not have noticed. The base set of this play actually has him running a two-man game with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Hmm.
Instead, he goes over to what's called the strong option on this one, which becomes basically calling Michael Porter's number. So I say all that to say that he is in this play, Jokic is audibling. I mean, it's really just read and react. But he's choosing the one that gets Michael Porter the ball. Funny enough, Michael Porter decides, nope, He doesn't come off the screen.
I want it in
the post. He's short. Well, no, it's not even that he wants it in the post. He could have come off an Aaron Gordon screen and a handoff from Jokic and gone right into a jumper, which is what Jamal always does. He comes off of a two-person screen, gets the ball, and then it's like you probably can shoot that because the defense has been sucked up. Jokic rolls to the rim, probably gets offensive rebound if you miss. That's the base option there. Porter, as he often does, shortcut that one. He goes off the first screen and then cuts into the post, but he doesn't cut to receive the pass. To your point, he receives it to post up. And then the team accommodates him further.
They just clear out. Yeah.
Well, no. They don't just clear out. They run him into the post. So he cuts to go to the post. Then I don't remember if he passes to Gordon or he but anyway, they get the ball to him in the post.
Yeah.
I say all that to say, twice the team basically was like, we're going to try to get you the ball on this play. So, in an interesting one. And he did make the weirdest possible decision, which was to go to the post to begin with and then to take a sidestep baseline follow-away.
In the history of the Jokic offense sets up there.
There's a weird thing with Jokic and MPJ, right, where you definitely, trust is not the word, and the body language is rough. But I saw someone say, like, Jokic doesn't believe in MPJ, and that's where I would draw the line.
Oh, same, yeah.
I think Jokic knows exactly how valuable Porter can be. And so he will and does look for him. I just think he'll also get often frustrated throughout the process.
I put this in the DNVR Discord, but when we were watching the scrimmage, one of the plays that stood out to me, after Porter had made these mistakes, by the way, on the defensive end that I had highlighted the other day on the pregame show, after he had made those mistakes in the scrimmage, he hits two threes in a row, basically, in between mistakes. Jokic called his number on the third time. It was like he's heating up NBA Jam style. He's like, well, he just hit two threes in a row. Let me just call his number, set a hard screen so that he gets a wide open three. And he missed it, but nonetheless, to me, I'm like, Porter just messed up two defensive assignments, made two threes, and on the next possession, Jokic's like, who else would I go to? I'm going to Mike.
He's hot.
So, like, I'm with you on this. Yeah. Jokic fully, I think, understands how good Michael Porter is. Honestly, this is my personal belief. Like, I don't think it is. Mm-hmm. But I also do think there's something, too. They called his number twice. He gave himself the toughest option and then hit it in the same play. So that play to me was one of the ones when I was analyzing it. I was like, this is a hilarious decision tree. You made the wrong decision en route to making the shot. Yeah. Like, it's just so
Malone's
funny.
Quote was, Michael Porter made a contested mid-range two last night. The spacing was awful. The execution was awful. And the shot went in. Poor possession, poor shot. Better than that.
It's the second one.
Yeah.
And it's because, like I said, that play called for better options. He somehow called the worst of all options and then made it.
And that's Malone's point there, right? It's not, I didn't want Mike shooting the ball.
The whole team was trying to get him a shot.
I just didn't want him to take that shot.
Right. Yeah, I think that play is actually, it was when we were watching it live, it was one of the ones that, again, if I did a list for that one, it would have been like number one because that would have been, this is the Michael Porter experience in a nutshell.
All right, I'm just going to do what we shouldn't do. I'm going to acknowledge a hater comment. Ask the people who actually play back. We did. This is a whole show about practice where we asked them. We're talking about their answers, Dominique. Sorry.
Wow, you got a little spicy.
I'm fired up, Dominique.
You know, it's early in the year for you, man. You let a hater get to you.
See, this is a hater got to you. Now you know how professional athletes feel when they log on to Twitter.
It's true, man.
You can't deal with the heat, obviously.
And I make just as much as they do.
That's so true. All right, so anything else?
Bones Highland also talked today. And look, one of the big things that came out of last night's game was Michael Malone called out Bones Highland post game. You know, he said a lot of us didn't play well, but he specifically singled out Bones.
Yeah.
And was like, I thought it took a couple plays off. And Bones did not play well at all last night, but it seems like Bones came back today to practice, put it behind him, and like took the constructive criticism and got better because of it. So that was pretty encouraging to hear. Bones did say, he was like, I felt like someone took my powers last night. I had no energy. And it wasn't the Bones we were used to last night.
Right.
But I think it was, God, I loved that interview with Bones today. He gets it. He talked to Malone about it. You know, I think he received criticism well from Malone. They seem to have that relationship.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be closer to Michael Malone and Jamal than Michael Malone and Mike Porter. You know, like I think Malone's going to be able to send some aggressive texts and Bones going to take it the right way. So there's, I liked the way that Bones just came out and owned it completely today.
Mm-hmm. I just want to make clear. I think Porter wants all the right things, man. He says all the right things. Yep. And I honestly think he wants it. Like,
of course.
These things about him, again, are just to like, everybody's trying to row in the same direction. I saw somebody even in here says, Lowe needs to stop hating on MPJ. Guys, the Nuggets gave him a max contract off of two seasons. Like, I understand how people can feel this way of like, how come you're criticizing? I'm like, guys, that's what a coach does. A coach is supposed to push athletes to their absolute limit and try to get them to all be rowing in the same direction.
Yeah. And it's not easy.
When you know, you reward them by giving them shots, by giving them minutes, and by giving them $170 million. Like, literally the most they could possibly give him.
When you don't coach that way, look at what happened in Brooklyn.
Oh, 1,000%. Oh, wow. So to me, I think everybody is like, in awe of Porter's talents, and he's just the last one added to the equation of the main pieces. It's always the hardest for the last piece to be added in, and that's just the way it goes.
He's so good, though.
Anything else, Wind?
That's all I got. All
right, let's get into the GM survey, guys. I want to. This is always fun. Vote. Why don't you take the wheel for this one? I think you curated this list.
Yeah, sure.
Should we go through? How many should we go through?
I have like probably just all of them.
I have like eight. I don't know. You want to just start and see where we get?
Yeah, let's hear it.
We got a team one first. We're gonna there's a lot of talk about Jokic in this survey, but
is there?
How about them Denver Nuggets? We feel confident about a potential championship here in Denver. How do the GMs feel? Which team will win the 2023 NBA Finals?
Racing to place their bets.
That's right. They all picked the Nuggets. No. Wow. It's Bucks 1, Warriors 2, Clippers 3, Celtics 4.
I love last year Brooklyn Nets. 72%.
Even the GMs, man. Bro. That's crazy. That's crazy. Just
can I tell you something? Yeah. I wonder how this would have gone like a week ago before the Ime thing, because Boston at 11% seems awfully low, but that just shows you how things have changed.
Yeah.
Yeah, now it feels
high. Is it interesting that there's only four teams? Usually there's like other teams receiving votes. There's only four teams that receive votes from all...
out of 30 GMs.
Interesting you bring that up. Let's look at the voting breakdown just for the Western Conference rankings. Kale should have that as well.
Does he?
And you'll see Denver got 10% of the... Oh, this is just the regular season rankings, excuse me. So this is a different thing. But Denver, 10% of the vote to finish in second, no percent of the vote to finish in first. Clippers and Golden State, 48% each.
So the thing that surprised me about this one was Phoenix being ahead. Like, so we just saw Boston get discounted basically for their bad vibes going in.
Right.
Why not Phoenix?
Is this what it looks like when they're discounted, though? Like, wouldn't that number be a lot higher if, you know, like they're still good.
Mm-hmm. But ahead of Denver, I'm just saying, like, that's kind of interesting to me. Nonetheless, Denver at four feels right. Those four teams, Phoenix I would probably swap, but less for basketball reasons and more for just it seems like.
The way the Clippers are getting hyped this summer, they better win the championship next year. They better breeze through the playoffs and win the championship.
Yeah.
I want that series real bad. All right, let's look at some individual stuff, though. We talk a lot about a particular fellow on this show. His name's Nikola Jokic. Who's the best center in the NBA, Kale? The GMs were polled. Survey says, landslide, Jokic, 79% of the vote. And that's up from last year where he took 63% of the vote.
Wait.
In the same category.
Last year where Joel Embiid was robbed of the MVP, they actually became more effusive in their Jokic praise?
That's right, yeah.
Even though Embiid was robbed of the MVP? Yep. This is crazy. But if you ask any GM, they would tell you it's Joel Embiid, right? Because they're... The Hoopers know.
No, it would look publicly 79%.
Also, Giannis is not a center.
Giannis is closer to Embiid than Jokic than he is to Jokic, technically, that according to the math.
Who do you guys think is the third best center in the NBA? Because is Giannis? I don't know what to do.
Joe, it's Giannis. It's easy. It's Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, Giannis isn't a center.
It's Rudy Gobert.
Are you being sincere?
I'm being sincere about it. Okay,
I can't tell honestly.
Well, I mean, there's not like a murderer's row of centers out there. I mean, Bam Adebayo. Some people will tell you, but come on.
No, you're right. It's
come on.
All right. Towns. We talked a lot about Eurobasket, the international game, the international takeover. Who's the best international player in the NBA, fellas?
I feel a little disrespected here. Yeah. I feel a little disrespected.
I expected to see Giannis here at number one.
Do you guys know how sad I am Serbia lost? I wanted Serbia to win so bad so I could talk all this trash.
Me too.
And here I am. They lost in the round of 16.
Yeah, it stinks.
Gosh dang it.
It stinks a lot.
Was there a who's the best player in the NBA poll?
No, it was like, who would you build your team around?
This is such a cop-out by whoever put this survey on.
They asked about 55 different questions.
How could you just not ask who the best player
Do you have MVP on here?
We do.
Okay.
Do you want to go to that now, or should we?
I mean, it just seems like a natural.
Yeah,
way
it seems
go.
Like a natural fit. Let's go to MVP, Kel.
All right, Yoke's on here for sure. Wait a second.
Oh, wait a second.
Luka Doncic, 48%.
For the third year in a row, Luka Doncic is the favorite for MVP.
Was it really KD last year?
37%.
Isn't that wild that KD was the guy that they predicted?
Well, everyone thought they were going to win the title.
Actually, if you remember, KD like kicked ass in that Milwaukee
series. He was the number one player in NBA rank last year.
He was so good in that playoff series, and it carried over, and then they lost, and he was like not that great in this one, so he's really lost it. I'm okay with this list. I think it's kind of funny that Joel Embiid's at 14%, though.
Well, he is. What did Ramona say? Like, he's owed one, right?
Or he's owed it? One?
It's his
time
like,
now.
Oh, yeah.
God.
Like, it's his time.
One person I never have to want to listen to again. The funniest outcome of the MVP this year? James Harden. To me, it would be the funniest way the MVP could go.
There's no way.
It would be so funny though.
He can't win MVP. Who?
No, he can. It's that no, if they're both if they're candidates, like they're both in the top four, and then Embiid gets hurt in like February, but Harden leads them to an even better record down the stretch.
Who is the
part of me's rooting for it?
Who
I'm not
could
gonna lie.
Come from like out of nowhere to be in the John conversation. Moran.
Jason Tatum, probably.
Jason Tatum, Devin Booker.
All right.
This wasn't as fun as you thought
yeah,
it was going to be.
Yeah, this is a less
you?
Fun exercise than yeah. I anticipated.
He thought that was going to slap.
Okay, Kale, let's do something more fun. What player has the best basketball IQ?
I think I know the answer to this one.
LeBron James.
I think Jokic being that high above Chris Paul is...
Thank God.
He is, but like that's notable.
He's made up ground on LeBron, though. You notice that? LeBron, 53, 45.
That's right. Yeah.
I feel like this is a good... I honestly feel like this is a good order. Basketball IQ... is one of those things that is like means something different to everyone. So like this one's ambiguous enough.
Yeah.
You can't LeBron James, come on. He has you can't complain.
I mean the IQ is I think his number one thing yeah. actually.
Can't complain. Hey,
the funny thing about Chris Paul is you know what they factor in for Chris Paul what they don't for other people.
It's like can I make the defender run into me from behind
the
and
bullshit.
Draw
bullshit. That's what it is
draw
that they're like,
foul
look
on
at
the
that
floor.
IQ.
Man, he knows the rule. But remember when he knew the like tucked in shirt one and people were like he's so smart. And I was like yeah, I guess that's one word to describe that.
Right.
Very smart of him. Let's yeah. pause this haters ball to take a quick timeout.
Guys, Ivaka TV, what I need you to do is get set up with Ivaka TV now. So you can accomplish two things. You can be ready for the Nuggets season when it's regular season tips off, but you can even watch preseason games that are broadcast on Altitude. Last night's game was on Altitude. You could have watched it if you had Ivaka TV, but you also need to get Ivaka TV for the Serbia documentary that we've got coming out. Go to Ivaka.tv/DNVR, Ivaka.tv/DNVR. Get Ivaka TV for only $25 a month, plus a $5 receiver fee, Ivaka.tv/DNVR. Get set up with them now so you're good to go for the season. You don't have to worry about it at all. Also, the Game Time app. Don't mess around with going through all the different ticketing sites, all the different third-party sites. Every one of them has a different price. You don't know which one you want to buy your tickets from. Never do that again. Download the Game Time app and use the link in our description on the YouTube, on the podcast description if you're listening to this via podcast. Game Time is going to be your one-stop shop for tickets to concerts, shows, sporting events. You can get cheap tickets, very inexpensive tickets to the Denver Nuggets this season through the Game Time app. So use that app. You're good to go for this season. Also got thrown
guys,
a draft.
Guys, by the
Kings.
Way, the Game Time app, there is one more preseason game. And then also for the home opener, what was the price we said that we saw tickets on? I think it was $22 for the home opener, which is the 22nd. On Game Time right now, you can get tickets for $22. They also have this cool feature on there. Sorry, Harrison. They have this cool feature I just learned about today where you can like say the home opener and you hit like track and then it'll tell you if prices go down.
Oh, that's cool.
So then it'll send you a little alert that's like, hey, tickets are now lower than... So if you have a game... Say you want to go to the Broncos game on, you know, one of these Broncos games, but you're like, ah, let's see if tickets go lower. Hit set an alert, and then it'll push notify you.
Very cool.
Oh,
very cool.
Also, use our link, though. Use our link.
Got to use the link. Also, DraftKings Sportsbook pick of the week. I'm taking the Broncos.
Whoa. Over the Colts?
Yes.
Money line?
Over the Colts.
I love the way he just shoots from the hip on all of these.
Yeah, it's the best.
Just absolutely, he's picking it now. Like, yeah, what does it mean?
Give me the Broncos -3.5. The Colts suck, guys. Come on. Just Broncos are at home.
They had nothing like the Broncos.
Broncos don't suck. They don't suck. Not like the Colts.
All right.
The Colts are pretty bad.
That's the draft sportsbook pick of the week.
3.5, maybe. I'm done bet. I've taken a beating this year betting on the Broncos. Mm-hmm. Every week for 4 weeks, I said this is the week that the offense gets out of the rut. I'm taking the over on their points or whatever. I even buy it down. I don't think
this is the week. Thursday night, short week.
Yeah. So, but you're taking the 3.5. So, what are they going to win? 12-3.
The Colts are terrible, man.
12-3 incoming.
Let's ride. Matt Ryan's their quarterback these days.
Let's ride.
Come on.
Let's ride. Can you imagine if Yoke had a crazy saying that he just started saying? It's like, let's nug up. Like, what? Then we all have to just lead into
Nuggets up. Nation, let's hoop.
Let's hoop.
Someone added us last night and said, Nuggets Nation, let's mine. It's dumb, but I liked it.
It's really dumb.
Who would be the guy on the Nuggets to come up with a corny ass catchphrase?
Oh,
like
who would come up with
say
the corny,
it every time?
The corniest
I'll tell
one.
You who it would
it's
have been
probably
years
Aaron Gordon.
Past.
Are you kidding me? It's Aaron Gordon.
I think it's Aaron Gordon.
50, oh, Mr. 50 God. Or whatever.
Did you guys see? I posted in the Slack. Nobody said anything. Aaron Gordon with a mile high salute last night?
Well, it's because he wasn't giving a mile high salute.
What was he giving?
Oh, I mean, he's giving a salute, but I don't think he was like referencing the 90s Broncos.
Well, probably not, but I think we can still call it that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's why
I thought that was pretty dope.
I will
also
say this.
I thought it was dope, Harrison.
Thank you, Kale. Thank you.
I will say the Mile High Salute Broncos so much cooler than the Let's Ride Broncos. I feel like there's something to having a cool Jamal Murray getting the crowd going last night. I was just like, hell yeah, man,
dope.
We missed this. You got
dope.
Bones. You got him. You got guys that get the crowd going.
That's true.
Jokic's cold blooded kill, like, it's awesome in its own way. But you need a guy that like goes and tells everybody, stand on up.
Yeah.
He looked like he had something profound to add.
I don't.
I feel like Mason Plumlee could have come up with a super corporate slogan end all his interviews with.
Totally
was he a rapper, Mason Plumlee, or did he just have
that
one song?
No, he just had that one video.
Is that ironic?
Yeah, I think it was. Okay, I think we all thought, like, is this a cool guy? And it's like, no, he's so not. Yeah,
right.
But it seems cool. And he
Plum Dog Millionaire, out.
Out. Something
like that. He was cool. All right, what else we got? Oh, wait.
Oh,
can we answer this earnestly? Yeah. I want to answer it earnestly who had come up with the corniest slogan. If tasked with it.
Right, I think it's Aaron Gordon.
Aaron Gordon?
Do we just solve it right away? I mean, Michael Porter probably would come up with a pretty corny one.
Yeah. He would never do that, though.
Bruce Brown. We got Davon. Christian Brown.
DeAndre Jordan.
With it. No, wait. DeAndre. I'm so in on DeAndre.
But I'm so in on DeAndre, man. But he would be doing it not for the same reasons Russell Wilson. Like, Russell Wilson, I think, is doing it to be like, cool.
Russell Wilson is a guy that has like 8 advisors that filter every message.
He paid
through.
People like $100,000 salary to sit in a room, five of them, and come up with that.
With Let's Ride.
Yeah.
They may or may not.
DeAndre
have had
Jordan
a test group.
Would do it like as a joke.
Well, someone pointing out it is different, but Bones yelling Mile High City Baby is like the closest thing we have.
But it's like earnest and it's
but it
cool.
It is earnest and it's cool. You're
and
right.
It's simple.
Well,
and it's not like
Mile High City Baby is close.
Paul Millsap maybe could have.
Millsap would have had the lamest.
If Millsap,
he would have his TikToks, man.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a funny guy.
It's all magic.
He would say, like, top 5 defense before every press conference. Just walk up to the podium, top 5 defense.
Walk us through the survey. How's it going? I want more
all
survey
right, Kale,
highlights.
Let's bask in some more Jokic glory. The GMs were polled. Who or which player is the best passer in the NBA? Oh, well, would you look at that?
This is significant.
This is meaningful.
Wow.
So look at the last year on this. LeBron led at 33%.
Wow.
Jokic took 72% of the vote this year.
Wow.
Can I say something? Can I say something? Wow.
Wow.
Can I say something?
Yeah,
this one's right, man. I honestly think we've did this for years. Okay. We're like best passing, big miss. There's lots of different types of passes. There's lots of different things. I honestly think Jokic's the best passer.
I think he's the best passer. I don't think it's close.
Wow. It took it a whole
other
level.
The GMs agree with
I
you,
honestly
brother.
Don't think it's close. Yeah. I really don't. The types of passes he pulls off every single game that we just brush him off as, oh, yeah, it's a good pass.
Yeah.
For even like a Chris Paul to make the type of passes that Jokic does on a regular basis would be wild.
Yeah. I agree. Some of this is the height. Like Ish Smith had a great line. I think it was on Singer's Pod where he was like, he makes passes that like I can see, but I can't make or this or that. And like, I do think that's part of it. Like if LeBron was 7 feet tall, would he have even doper passes than he has? Probably, although if he wasn't as fast or whatever. But the point remains that Jokic still throws a lot of pinpoint passes that are just like I'll give you an example.
He had one last night.
Of course, yeah, and KCP wasn't ready for it. He missed it.
In the corner.
In the corner, yeah. He like drove on it rather than just shoot the wide open.
It was one of those where Jokic didn't look at KCP the entire possession.
He just saw the defender coming over and he's like,
he just knew he was there and flung it on point. But
the one that stands out to me that like to me makes me feel comfortable because the fanciness of a pass doesn't necessarily make you the best passer. The one he threw to Aaron Gordon last year to win the game against the Clippers to me is like the epitome of the perfect pass because he literally saw it 5 seconds earlier, 10 seconds earlier, and he just waited and then throws it from a backed up angle like this perfectly on the money. It was one of those plays where everybody on the court kind of knew where they were vulnerable and he still just timed it perfectly.
Right. There's no way he could actually get that pass over there.
And he's like,
we're triple teaming him. He's fading away off of one. He can't throw it that far.
And the thing with Jokic when he completes those passes for me is I always say, could he do that again?
And the answer is yes. Like, of course. Yeah. Like,
was that an accident? No.
You know which one was even actually better? It was of the same variety, the same ilk, was the one he threw to Michael Porter in the corner to clinch the playoff game against the Blazers.
The Blazers, yeah.
That one where I think it was Robert Covington jumped and somehow the ball just, like, he calculated his vertical, too, and just threw it perfectly over there.
Right.
Right.
Robert Covington, he timed his jump perfectly.
Perfectly.
But he still couldn't get to it.
By 1 inch. Yoke's like, okay, let's see, 38-inch vertical, 6'9".
So cool.
And that one was also great because it was like the perfect arc and perfect. Just drop just right into Porter's.
And I think it was one that Jokic threw this way. Like he like spins the body in a weird way to
that
get
was,
it to
that
him.
Was a different one that he like actually put spin on it.
Like threw a frisbee.
Well, back. No, yeah. I know the one you're talking about in the Spurs where it curves.
Yeah.
Look, we could do this all day. What's that one tweet? Guys can just sit around naming sports players and have a good time. Yeah. I could just sit around naming Jokic passes.
So true, man.
I could do it for probably three
the Clippers
hours.
Won.
The Clippers won. Yeah, the Clippers won.
Was MPJ it, in the playoffs.
Was it the Spurs where he split Derek White's face?
Oh, yeah.
Like, dude.
One of them I always think about the Jokic flip pass to Murray from the post. This was like second year. Yeah. Murray's first year. And he just kind of flips it like over his shoulder. Like,
Right. Yeah. Right, of course, the one-handed slinger.
The one-handed slinger from the Joker on December 15th, 2016.
The first iconic pass, I think, of Jokic's.
Might have been.
Anyways. Kale, I have one that has two on there. I'm not sure if you have it. Starting the franchise today and forcing opposing coaches to make adjustments. Oh, yeah. If you don't have that one, either one of those individually would be fine. There we go. Kale, you're a super producer, bro.
If you were starting a franchise today,
and could sign any
there was only two players. NBA. It's so funny that only two players made the list.
There's so much groupthink among these GMs. They just all get on a conference call and be like, all right, let's bang out this survey.
Who else would you put on this list, though?
Fucking Jokic.
Look, I think that there are still people that'll be like GMs that'll say it's easier to hide a non-center defensively. These two guys are really, really good. Yeah. So the margin between where you think they are now versus the team building, I think that would probably be what they're thinking.
Hey, that's there. There's something to that.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's fair to me. I just
not Durant, not Curry.
If there was any other LeBron. Player, could it have been Zion or something? I mean.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Like,
I'm honestly surprised Tatum doesn't show
David
up.
David Griffin,
Tatum.
Wasn't, like,
on. How much more mad did you get if Tatum was on the list?
40% more mad. I'm honestly surprised he's not like a observable percentage.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Which player forces opposing coaches to make the most adjustments? I thought this was an interesting one.
Yeah.
And not surprised to see Steph Curry there, number one. I think coaches are still trying to figure out what adjustments to make. So
with Steph. Well, I mean, I think with him, it's just that all your principles go out the window with him. It's like, hey, we're just not letting him shoot if we can help it. Giannis is interesting, tied with Jokic, which is cool. And then Embiid down there, you know, I see him way down there and fourth.
Way down there. I think that's probably true.
Yeah. I think it's pretty interesting.
That's pretty accurate.
All right, that's what I got for you, fellas. That's what the GM, Tad. What do you think? Any thoughts? Any observations? Any ire?
The GMs seem really boring and seem like they're all thinking on the same wavelength.
I was surprised that the Nuggets didn't get a little bit more, just like as a team, a little bit more love. But I mean, I guess
People are down on the Nuggets, man. The over-under even dropped. Win total dropped.
I think, like, from the national perspective, it's like, oh, hey, let's not touch that one, because who knows with Murray or Porter.
Yeah, you did miss a very funny one. Which team made the best overall moves this offseason? Oh, Cavs, 41%. Timberwolves, 17%. Jazz, also 17%.
The Jazz?
The Jazz and the Timberwolves.
Danny Ainge has these GMs on his
he does.
Finger,
he does. You're so right about it, Danny Ainge.
He's probably just sending, like, a perfectly curated email out to everybody. So when that GM survey comes in, don't forget about what we did this summer.
Nuggets got an honorable mention in that list, too. Did you see?
And that
the
what
other
list?
Players mentioned in the best edition?
Really?
KCP.
Oh, I did see that. I did see that. Yeah, he came out with one vote. Gotcha. I'm excited. I'm actually pretty excited about KCP. And Yoke today kind of gave him, to the extent that he can, a stamp of approval. Like, I
dude,
like playing
KCP's
with that guy.
KCP's awesome, man.
I think he's pretty
so
seamless.
Good.
I think he's a seamless
Yeah, fit. Him starting 1 of 8 in the 5 jersey, though, is hilarious.
With a headband.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty perfect.
Do you think there were any fans at the game last night that were just
yes,
like,
100%.
God damn it, Barton!
Yes, I promise you. Yeah,
no way,
I'm 100%
no, no, no
sure.
Way, no way. If you go to a preseason game,
you know what you're talking
about. It's
only
the diehards at preseason.
All right, you're right, you're right.
$1 tickets happen, for $1 on the Game Time app.
Yeah. I'm surprised not more people were there last night. I do have to say.
Oh,
why?
Malone.
It's the preseason.
Malone
it's Jamal Murray's first game in 18 months.
But Malone had a little barb, too.
He did.
That was
funny.
He caught himself before he said, how many people were here? 11,000?
Oh, yeah.
That's a pretty generous number, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he said, but when our fans show up or something like
I'm
that.
I'm a little surprised not more people were there. Yeah. $1 tickets for Jamal Murray's first game in 18 months? Come on.
It's just weird not building too much more momentum when you're in San Diego and stuff. I mean, there's things you can do to try to, like, get the fan base in. There's things you can do, like, have access and things like of those natures. I'm just saying. Be a little more cordial. Last thing here. Did you guys see that Karl-Anthony Towns has had a mystery illness and been in the hospital? He couldn't walk, apparently, for a while. And has lost 20 pounds.
Dude.
This is a crazy story.
This is the wrong kind of muscle watch.
You can't. And now, who knows how much of that is water weight. Maybe you can gain some back. But nonetheless, like 20 pounds, you can't make that up. Like, you can't make 20 pounds up if you lost it, especially once the season starts.
Well, you usually lose weight as the season goes along.
There's a lot of water weight when you get sick. And you can add, a guy his height maybe can add 10 pounds of water weight or something, quickly back. But not 20 pounds of muscle mass. Like, that's crazy. Who knows what the illness was? But I look at that for Minnesota. If you see their opening schedule, do you remember it? Softest schedule in the NBA.
Yeah.
They played the softest string of, like, 8 games to open their season. And that's quite a curveball to have to deal with that now.
He's had quite the couple of years, man. It's been a lot going on for Karl-Anthony Towns.
Paolo Banchero got a lion's share of the votes for Rookie of the Year, which I think will be interesting. Best player in 5 years of the rookie class. He also got that, although Chet Holmgren right on his heels, which would be interesting.
Yeah, I feel like Chet's just going to be hurt his entire career, unfortunately. It sucks.
Yeah. So, all right. I think that does
Victor
it.
W.
Cue that outro music there, Kale. I'm just going down here. Best defenders. Oh, actually, how'd you miss some of these hilarious ones?
I was just trying to do the Nuggets specific stuff.
Best defenders in the NBA. Not mentioned? Joel Embiid. Best interior defenders in the NBA. You know who's not mentioned?
Who?
Joel Embiid. Does not receive a single vote. Isn't that wild?
Wait, what?
I actually think that's wrong. I actually think he does.
He's an incredible defender.
But it's Rudy Gobert, 83%, which, again, I'm telling you, Rudy Gobert is so much better than he's like a punchline. I hate him. I hate his guts. Why am I sticking up for Rudy Gobert?
Yeah, why are you?
I have so many thoughts on how this survey was conducted. Like, did they not just list the top three? They only gave one answer for each person?
No, it's all of the votes. All of the votes came in. They just asked who's the best defensive player. And then they asked who's the best interior defensive player, and he got 0 votes. Giannis got 1, or got 2. Draymond got 2, and then Rudy Gobert got the rest.
Yeah, but I'm even saying on, like, top like player you want to start your franchise with. Everybody just gave Luka and Giannis, and then just nobody else.
Michael Malone also never gets any love on these. Have you ever noticed that?
Yep.
Yeah, man.
He never gets a single vote.
There was 1 year where he was like an honorary mention to get Coach of the Year or something. Probably the year he finished in third.
The Nuggets did receive 1 vote for most fun team to watch.
Oh, that's right. Forgot that one.
Shouts to Tim Connelly.
Yep.
Was that Tim voting?
That would be awesome.
Shouts to Connelly, for sure.
He's like, oh, shit, I'm not the GM of the Nuggets anymore. Damn it.
All right, everybody. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. We always appreciate it. Tomorrow, the Fame Tarot card. We're going to learn our fates tomorrow. Wow. I can't wait for it. We hope you tune in 4 o'clock Mountain Time. See you then.